Caleb would be the best fucking supply NCO on the planet. No, it would be the funniest. Supply guy, 100%.
No.
I don't know.
I want you to picture him the cook on a submarine.
Yeah, that just like a damn Periscope.
That would actually be pretty good.
He's smoking a cigar. He's got the Cracker Jack hat. He's like, oh, today is special. Yeah. We got freaking Salisbury steak and Salisbury's extra Salisbury.
Yeah, anyways, you could have warned me.
You didn't know he was here.
No, I just rolled up to your house like it's a normal Friday, usual.
I guess I, not having Instagram, I don't realize, like, you can't just see things. God,
I just remembered that because I took the picture with your mural out front and made a post, like, Time for Seconds, coming on for the second time on Time for Pie, and I tried to tag you, and you weren't there.
I don't exist.
I know.
Are you just not going to make another one, or?
Not yet, because I'm being told I'm getting it back.
Okay. So, being told by who?
By people like
Dave Instagram?
Yeah, Dave Instagram. Like he invented Instagram in 1975.
Yeah. So did they think that your account was not you, and that's why they got
rid
of you
because
you
were faking yourself? The reason for deletion was I was impersonating a celebrity. I don't know what that means. Like, did they finally like, hey, why was this guy even remotely kind of popular? Like, no.
No,
this
not
wasn't allowed. Yeah, the Weinsteins finally got back in power.
Yeah. It's almost like Instagram should have a real criteria for giving out those blue check marks instead of just giving it out to people they like.
Yeah.
Well, that would avoid situations what it is it's more, it's like everything. Where there, when you have something like Instagram that becomes culture, there are multiple underlying industries that then flock up. So like this is a publicist thing. So I think like what it was for a while was like a publicist that was hired by somebody, you know, working for a celebrity, a writer, or a sports athlete, or something like that, where the verification people would only speak to publicists. Because I visited Instagram headquarters in 2019, and there is only one person in each category that works for verification. So you have your sports athletes, that's only one human that works from
Monday
to Friday.
All pro athletes.
They're the only ones that can verify athletes. And then you have authors and you have entrepreneurs and you have
degenerates like me.
Yeah. So like at the end of the day, that whole area, the verification area, was seven people. So like, and now imagine being one of those and your friends knowing that you're one of those. How many phone calls are you getting? Drunk, like, hey, dude, can you verify my buddy? Hey, dude, hey, just wanted to chat with you. Like, I bet that job was infuriating, and I bet that they didn't tell people they did that job.
Yeah. Had a lot of favors called in that's never going to get returned.
But then there's 600 employees in Instagram's building. All those employees know where the verification office is. So now how many times are you being visited by Joe over in homepage? That's like, hey man, here's a list of 10 of my friends. Like, it becomes I know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care about getting the check mark for like, oh, I have a check mark. I just care because I have like so many different fake accounts actually trying to scam people.
That's the only reason.
Like, if you go on TikTok, I had 50 fake fat electrician TikTok accounts pretending to be me. And I would get emails every day. Hey, this person told me to message them on WhatsApp. Is this really you? It's like, no. Please don't message them.
Yeah. I have women. It's all women that were like, oh, I was in a relationship with you for a year. No, you weren't. And Or like one of them was like, well, this guy, he had me send 6 new iPhones to Nigeria. Mm-hmm. I'm like, where was the red flag
that's
in your head?
That's your fault.
Look, to be honest, in their defense, of all the people I've met where that might be real, you're up there on that list of like, if I've ever met somebody that would call me at 1 a.m. and be like, bro, I need you to send me an iPhone to Nigeria and don't ask questions. I'd be like, fuck.
There's a
greater than 0% chance that this might be real.
So I got a pretty decent story with this because, you know, obviously these guys are getting better at it. There's all kinds of different crazy schemes going around. But yeah, like about 3 or 4 years ago, I get a Facebook Messenger message from a pilot that flew for me in Iraq, F-14 pilot in combat. I've stayed in touch with him for since 2005. But he messaged me on Messenger and is like, hey, dude, me and the wife are in the UK on vacation and we got robbed. And like, I don't have any of my IDs. I don't have any of this. I need $600 like to get us back to like London proper. Like it was a very well typed out thing because at first like bad English or shitty storytelling is gonna. So it was well written. And that was like the first cue of like, okay, this actually looks legit. Like he was giving me the plan of I need $600 that gets us back into London proper. Then I can file to get a new ID or a visa or something like that. And then we can start making our way back home and canceling cards and shit like that. And I go, cool, dude, I'll send it right over. Does PayPal work? And he's like, yeah. I go, all right, what was your call sign? Like he's a fighter pilot. And he's like, what? What are you talking about? What do you mean? What was my call sign? I'm like, what was your call sign,
Gordon? What's wrong? ChatGPT didn't know like, that one, yeah, motherfucker. Yeah.
And it's like, dude, we've known each other. When would they use the date? Because you know, Facebook tells you you've been friends since 2014.
Right.
It's like we've known each other since 2014. I was like, no, 2005. Like I was like, oh, busted. And they like got angry. They were like, fuck you. You, you're not my friend.
Yeah.
I call him like later that day. I tried to call him, couldn't get a hold of him. And then he called me back hours later and they had taken like fucking 25 of their friends, fell for it and sent it money. Cause they were in his Facebook.
Yeah.
But I was like, bro, I right away was like, cool, I'll send you the money. What's your call sign?
Crazy.
And that's like me asking what your fucking your handle is on YouTube.
Right.
Like went by that name what his was your, entire military.
What was
career.
Your nickname that everybody calls you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
So what'd he do?
Well, I mean, he was able to it took like 4 or 5 days for him to get back into his Facebook, but he was able to like reset everything and it got that. Cause that's what they did. They just ran a password thing until they got in his Facebook and they were just contacting everybody on the friends list with these, and they were all different stories too, like different weaves. They were trying everything. And that went on for a couple of days. So like
shit,
he had to have his wife like make a post like, hey, Gordon isn't.
somebody tried to hack my phone to take my phone number to put it on their phone. Cause I had all
that?
Yeah, you can get you. I don't know if I want, anyways, I'm not going to say how they did it, but they did it somehow. I'm not going to put that on the internet, but they basically were really close to convincing my cell phone provider to switching my phone number to their phone because they had convinced the cell phone provider that they were me. And, that's where all my 2FA is to log into all my social medias. So they would have been able to get into all my stuff. Mm-hmm. So after that, I went and I have like hardware keys. They look like little USB thumb drives. And the only way to log into all my stuff is to have that physical key. You have to plug that in and then you have to know some ridiculously long password.
Wow.
So it's impossible to log into without that physical key now.
Nice.
All I mean, I got stuff. My Twitch stolen.
Yeah.
They didn't get into it or change it into anything. It's just, I woke up one morning and had like 85 two-factor texts of a Twitch code. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh God. And then I went to go log in and it was like, no.
My Netflix got hacked while I was in the gym here just like a week ago. I had to run upstairs. I was like, I better, because it popped up that, and then both of those emails disappeared. Like they got deleted. I was like, oh shit. So they must have access to my email account as well. So I went up, called Netflix, and they were like, yep, we see that a password was changed and it was sent to all this stuff in Iowa and it was turned into Spanish and all this shit. So they like nuked that. I had to make a whole new email to attach it to it. And then I changed the password on my email, then changed the password on everything else that I have. So I made them all different passwords. I lost my Instagram for almost a month. in like 2018, 19 from
I'm in that boat right now.
It was
now.
My place. They got my PlayStation 4 account.
Oh, God.
And then somehow got my Instagram as well. So I lost every online thing that I had on PS4 at that time. So like access to all those games that I had bought and all that shit through that email, gone. And then my Instagram was gone for almost a month. But yeah, dude, it's fucking ridiculous. Oh,
fuck. I got my Netflix hacked. They're like, okay, well, here's a new Netflix account. We just switched all your shit. And I was like, you're going to know where I stopped watching all the video? They're like, nah, you're going to have to restart. I'm like, fuck. Mm-hmm. I got 7 years of building that algorithm for me.
This has been an interesting culture thing the last week and a half without Instagram, because I like forget. I don't know what anybody's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Corey tells me. Oh, Range Day looked packed. I'm like, how do you know? She's like, duh. Like, Instagram, yeah. I'm watching 700 stories of every motherfucker I know that's there. Mm. Like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Like, then, like, oh, shit. Like you, surprised that, bam, is sitting on the couch.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Like, what?
I walked in the backyard, and there was, like, one dude, I don't know his name, I'd never seen him before. He was, like, just kind of chilling on the side by the skate ramp. I'm like, hey, what's up, bro?
Nice
to see you.
Lee?
Yeah. And then I walked in the backyard, and it's... Bam, picking up acorns. I'm like,
and how
polite.
Hi, how polite.
Nice to meet you. It was super cool. He was cool as shit. He's like, hi, nice to meet you. I'm Bam. I was like, I'm aware. Oh, thank you. I'm Nick. Okay. Like, I know who you are. No, he's super cool.
Yeah.
So
just so nice.
I don't know. Caught me off guard. I'm having a hell of a day. Hell of a trip. I try not to get pictures with like a bunch of like I'm new to the whole influencer thing, so like seeing like even you guys, like just I'm like, all right, I'm not gonna fangirl, I'm not gonna go up asking people for pictures, it's gonna be weird, it's gonna be fine. And then I turned around at Range Day and the fucking Undertaker was there and I'm like, I'm getting a fucking picture with him. Hi sir, I had your backpack in third grade and you were on my trapper all through middle school. It's really nice to meet you. So
yeah, he's cool, dude. I got to film some stuff with him yesterday. And we did like a little face off before we shot like some guns together. But like, my face is directly into his chest. So we did like a face off and then I like look up at him and then I like look at him like, oh no. And then it cuts to us. He's shooting like a full auto shotgun and I got an MP40 and we're just like, duh, 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 duh. So yeah, dude, he was so cool. He was like just goofing around the whole time in the background. Like I've got a bunch of pictures in the background. He's just like bent down, like flipping us off the camera. So yeah, he was really cool.
Yeah, but you know both sides of this now.
Yeah, I know.
You've experienced most. Are you offended if someone sees you and wants to know? You're like, hey, yeah, of course I will. Like, it's not,
bothering me. What? No, like I love taking pictures with everybody, like when they want to. But like, what? Like, God, if you ever want a picture with me or you see me in the store, whatever, just come get a picture. You're not bothering me. It's way worse when I get an email. It's like, I saw you in Target the other day,
I didn't want to be rude,
but I was like, bro, just come say hi. Yeah, I'm happy to give you a picture with anybody, anytime.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, it's a lot of fun. Goldberg was awesome. Undertaker was awesome. Chuck Liddell's awesome. Yeah, Junior Dos Santos is awesome. Did you see, did you meet Jay Wolf out there?
Oh, that, yeah. Giant.
Younger kid?
Yeah, the giant.
Bro.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking Undertaker, and this dude dwarfed everybody at this event.
I think he's taller than Undertaker.
He's 7'1".
His name is Jay Wolf.
His like Twitch name or whatever. Yeah, yeah. But he's 7'1", 435 pounds. Twitches,
like where he's just a giant.
And, like, no, he's like I just play video games and stuff. I'm like, bro, like we start a YouTube channel, like just call it like, you know, Size Matters or something, like, and that should be like just show people what it's like living life as a giant. He's like, actually, there's a bunch of roller coasters in Idaho that have height limitations now because they almost took my head off at the picture ramp. I'm like, oh, shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good thing. Like
They're like, yeah, if you didn't duck, you would have died. I'm like, oh, that's good.
Wow. Yeah, he's extremely nice, too. He's a pleasant dude. Yeah. It's a good time.
Wolf.
Yeah. Jesse James was there.
Really?
Yeah. When I got there, I saw his back, and they're like, yeah, Jesse James is over there with a bunch of his guns he made, all the Damascus stuff. I said, what? And we started talking to somebody else, and when I turned, I was like, oh, I need to go see him. He was gone. He was in like a Hummer or something that was like lifted, and when I turned to like go see him, that was gone, and he was gone. I was like,
him and Undertaker live right by each other.
Yeah, yeah. He was there with his like whole group and all his guns. So I was like, fuck. I was like, I missed him. And then Junior DeSantos was there too. Yeah. I was like, oh, shit. Like, I was staring at him while I was, like, shooting a gun for a minute. And I was like, I know this guy. And I, like, looked him up.
These flies are infuriating.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing.
Tis the season,
that makes me uncomfortably furious is a fly in my face. Like, I can feel it in my body. Like, I want to kill.
You got 24 hours to live, and you're going to spend it fucking with me.
Yeah, I'm trying to drink from my fucking eyes. Drink something else. There's plenty of other places you can go get a drink, but a fly's like, no, I want to fuck with you. I want some spit, and I want eye juice.
I'd feel better about it if every time they landed, they weren't rubbing their fucking hands together like they're plotting.
Shit, man. They're just like,
you're fucking up to something.
Yeah.
Dick.
Yeah, I fucking hate
them. Little four-day lives.
Yeah, and they just spend it fucking ruining everyone else's. We were talking about that earlier.
You're alive for 4 days, and that's all you do.
Yeah, they just fuck with people. When we were in the gym, there was so many today, and I was like smashing them with that.
With one of the barbells?
Pretty much, yeah. It was
the fuck happened to these walls? I was going after the flies.
There were flies. What? But yeah, it was that mat you like do yoga and shit on. I rolled it up and was just bashing a bunch of them. But dude, yeah, every time I would go to sit down, like one would land on me and I'd be just like, oh my God. I hate it.
I'm ready. Yeah. It was a good range. It was a good range today. Huge turnout. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Very nicely ran.
They did it last year, and there was like, it was a good turnout. There was like, you know, like 50 people there. I pulled up this time. I was like, holy shit. It looked like a convention.
Dude, it was like 300 plus.
That's probably going to be better than SHOT Show.
Yeah, I mean, probably.
And like, to your credit, like not that last time wasn't safe, but like this time was like super safe with all the dudes you brought out. Yeah. Like there was zero problems happened that entire time.
We were talking about that months ago of just like, hey, like how can we make this just better, you know, in the aspect of you're bringing a lot of people that have never been around these things before. So, you know, the last thing we want, I mean, that's what the other side would love. Nothing more than some goofy shit to go down at that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it would be in international headlines. Mm-hmm. Like, and then also too, you know, it's Matt's property.
Yeah.
Respect. It's on someone else's.
Yeah.
You know, it's his, he's taken the risk.
Right.
So. But it all worked out good. Yeah. Everything was great. I still can't believe what we did to that Hummer at the end of that.
Dude, that was wild. No, I'm not gonna lie. That was, that was
a little bit of a spoiler alert. I was like,
"Oh, you guys just all melted down the Hummer." I left,
bro.
Just because I had been standing since 9.
Yeah, they backed the range up like 50 yards, and everybody just lined up and unloaded on that like brand new, decked out, nothing wrong with it. Hummer with like roll cages.
I heard that somebody,
beautiful shit, lights everywhere, crazy rims and tires, just like ultimate package Hummer. Humvee, like, and just fucking obliterated it.
I heard that, like, somebody had donated a Hummer we were going to shoot, and I thought it was going to be, like, some fucking piece of shit. Yeah, somebody paid five grand for at a surplus, and it was whatever.
No, it was wrapped.
No, this was
rims.
This was wrapped. It had rims, new tires, a roof rack.
Yeah, the inside was nice.
I was like, bro.
I was like, oh.
Can we keep it?
Yeah. Like, just, like, shoot something else.
Now what do they do with it?
Yeah.
I don't know if it just stays there and they just continue to shoot it more and it's just there, you know, in the background for like content
forever,
or whatever, or if
Matt,
they take it off and some, I bet you somebody else probably can be like, yeah, I'll buy it. I'll fucking fix that shit. So
there's a lot of holes in that motherfucker now. Yeah. A lot of holes.
Yeah.
Were they shooting the '50s at it? That was one.
Yes.
Okay. They were.
They shot something that was on the ground next to me to my right and the other 50 that was to the left. I don't know. The other thing was probably some other type of 50. I can't tell. It just looked older because it sat angled up, and then he would like lift it up, and it was like that. The other one was like,
was it the American flag one?
Yeah, I think so.
That was a Browning 1919. So that was 30 cal.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was another. I know what one you're talking about now. There was another one. When he was done, it sat looking straight up, and then he like cocked it down, and it was fucking loud as hell too.
Must have missed that one.
But yeah, it was nuts, dude.
You guys have a shooting day.
Yeah.
A lot of cool guns for sure.
Hey, when you drove over here, how'd you find the turn?
What do you mean?
How did you know that you were approaching your destination? That is this podcast
studio. Oh, you mean
the
fucking big ass fucking billboard that like, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't pay attention when I drive. Like I'm looking at the road and that's fucking it.
Yeah.
Like I've obliterated many deer that have just wandered into my lane. Yeah. I don't pay attention to shit other than the road. my wife is like, oh my God, slow down the billboard. That's Caleb and JT. So I had to slow down so she could snap a picture real quick. But yeah, no, the billboard looks fantastic.
It's really good.
I'm kind of jealous.
Look, I was trying to get you guys to get the other side.
Because
it would have been awesome to have all your faces on the reverse side. Would have
been great.
That would have been
we would have said Fair Oaks is number one radio show.
Man, we filmed like a 3-hour podcast the other night. I got hammered. It was pretty. It's going to be a good one. But we were talking about you guys when's the Time for Come collab.
That would be Time for Unsub. We should just do like a giant collab. And just do like, maybe we just do two separate podcasts and then we each upload one of them.
Well, we've also talked about just switching sets and switching loads.
Yeah.
Let's do that. When you say switching loads.
Meaning
so we pair you tips guys are together just, and we
no, coffee. No. Oh, okay. Uploads. Okay. Switching okay. uploads.
All right, sure.
So you guys podcast. Just yeah. appear on this set and this, and whatever you say, that episode goes up on our channel and we're just on the Unsub set.
Yeah, that could be funny. But yeah, I think a cool one of us all together. And then we could just talk for like 2 hours and it's like you gotta watch part of it here and you watch the other part here.
It would be fun to actually do like some B-roll footage of like just us all going to brunch together to begin with.
Or Six Flags.
Yeah. To show us drinking from the beginning of the day and then we go do one of our podcasts. And then it's us going to the next podcast even more drunk.
We have to wear suits at Six Flags. It's called Business Trip.
Where's the nearest Six Flags?
San Antonio. It's at the rim.
Yeah, it's like 20 minutes away.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's close.
Yeah. It's closer than the airport.
Yeah. We could be there.
So, if we all dress in suits like businessmen and it's work day.
We do that in between podcasts. We just go get the roller coaster picture. That's the thumbnail.
Yeah, it's all of us on a roller coaster.
On a roller coaster in business suits and ties.
We got kicked out of Six Flags.
We were just filming an epic hoist commercial for you where we were sliding the car into Caleb while Brent was throwing him a new black cherry hoist,
which is delicious, by the way. But
we broke the car.
Yeah.
We broke the car.
He was too dehydrated to be driving properly. And it's a hot day. So that goes to show you what happens if you don't hydrate properly.
No, well, we're going to fix the car and then we're going to come back and we're going to do that clip where we slide at 100 miles an hour into you and deliver you a delicious hoist.
Yeah. And in the middle of that slide, he's tossing it out the window. So what, 200 mile an hour coming straight at me?
230 miles an hour, straight at you, hoist. It's a hoist delivery vehicle, the HDV. Mm-hmm. Like, this is gonna be exactly how everyone needs to drink hoist, but you're holding a new flavor.
Which is absolutely amazing. If you've had black cherry anything, it's always good, but this is as good as it gets. I have been fighting not to drink this the entire time we've been filming this. And now I'm severely dehydrated.
Well, you know, it's all about drinking hoist. And you know, if you used not Squish 20.
You could use Squish 20.
You can use Squish 20. But you're not supposed to call hoist Squish, but Squish 20 will save you some money. It might save you some money. Drinkhoist.com.
Are you guys ready for some hot sauce that has some flavor? Well, try Florida Man's Lunacy, the roasted garlic kind. This thing will bring spice and great flavor to just about anything you put it on. But I don't recommend putting it where the sun don't shine. And it comes in two distinct flavors, roasted garlic and pineapple.
You mean three distinct flavors. Don't forget blueberry hot sauce for that sweet and spicy.
So head on over to FloridaMansLunacy.com. Get yourself a one pack, maybe a two pack, or even a three-pack. That's FloridaManslunacy.com for hot sauce that tastes great.
Mm. Yeah, that would be fun.
Why? We stole a flag. There are five flags now.
Yeah, there's five flags now.
We burn it. Yeah, what?
The mascot is dead. What is the Six Flags mascot? Well, it was a giant fox.
What?
Was?
That doesn't even make sense.
We had some dude on there. I don't know if you met him. His name was Tyler. He's at Range Day. But I want to know if you knew that this existed because I did.
Tyler Gray.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
He was telling stories and he's like talking about some grenade that, you know, whatever. And then he drank a little bit more and told more later. You ever heard of a thermal barrack grenade?
Oh yeah.
God, I did not know that was a thing.
What?
That's fucking terrifying.
What is this?
A thermal barrack grenade. You know what a thermal barrack, like bomb is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yes, yes.
Yeah, and no, they made that in grenade form, and it's terrifying.
Okay. With white phosphorus.
Wow. Yeah,
it that's burns cool. hot.
I thought you said thermal barrack.
No, thermal barrack is the air fuel grenades that claps buildings. Yeah. It's a vacuum bomb.
Ooh,
that's what that is.
It's like a double blast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay.
And they made it in grenade form. And he's like, yeah, here's what they look like. He showed me a picture. Dude, it looked like a fucking 2 liter of Mountain Dew. He's like, yeah.
Supposed to toss that thing?
Yeah. He's like, you throw it into a room and you fucking run. He's like, it'll collapse a building in on itself. I'm like, Jesus Christ. And then I was like, I started Googling it later that night because I'd never heard of it, which is weird for me. And it's fucking classified as an anti-structure grenade. Fuck, I'm going to kill the house with you in it. And that's your problem.
Get rid of all of this.
Let's go ahead and wee.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good idea. If there's just a house full of bad guys, you're like, you know what? They're not going to get the drop.
Yeah, but imagine you're the poor son of a bitch armed guard that was just on shift that night. That this thing comes flying towards you, and you're like, oh, what's that,
bro?
Because that probably doesn't feel good.
It looks like
not
a 2 liter
house that's going to kill you.
That's like the angry cricket of the bomb world,
bro.
Yeah.
Except it's huge.
I bet it bends you in half.
It shatters you. Yeah.
Like you get sucked into like the size of this shell, and then it throws you out the size of tub three times you.
It just does you out as goo.
Yeah. It's just slop.
And then the house collapses. Yeah.
Slop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sitting there drunk trying to understand the chemistry behind thermal barrier grenades after that podcast.
Yeah, what do you think it would look like if somebody like skydived into a like horizontal chain link fence?
Look, how far would they make it through? These are the questions.
I think they'd go straight through.
Really?
You don't think they would?
Like no parachute?
No parachute.
Straight through?
Like into, you know, the chain link fence is pulled taut and it's like 30 feet in the air and they just hit.
I think you're going to get like 4 inches of penetration into them and then it's going to collapse the chain link in.
Yeah.
I don't think you're gonna.
Do you go sharper wire then?
Do you go? Well, if you went sharper wire, it would work.
Smaller gauge.
Yeah, then it would work probably.
Like remember,
like a piano wire net.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. If you did that, they're cool.
Yeah. And it's octagonal. It's like chicken wire.
For sure. No, that's exactly what would happen.
Or like remember, wasn't that Silent? No, not Silent Hill. It was Resident Evil, the first Resident Evil movie where it had the lasers that. That like turned into a grid,
and
just went
came
through.
At you, yeah.
Now that's gotta not be fun.
I've been reading up on lasers.
Do you think samurais cut
lately.
People in half?
Yes,
they did.
Sure, absolutely. You know how they grade a samurai sword? So like when like no shit when you're talking about samurai swords, they refer to it as a X amount of pig blade. So like you have a 3 pig blade, and it's like. 3 pig blade is a sword that will cut through three pigs stacked on top of each other in one swipe. And that's how you grade a samurai sword is how many fucking pigs it'll cut through in one swipe.
That's pretty cool.
They're fucking dope. Okay. So yes, to answer your question, 100% yes.
Okay.
Second question.
Yeah.
Like I bet you in human history that somebody that was unarmed or just wearing regular clothes pissed off a samurai and got cut.
Oh, for sure. I mean, what?
But like getting cut in half, like it's gonna take it a minute.
Well, yeah, you know they say that most of the samurais, it was a lot of like crusader kind of shit. Most of them sucked. Like they would just like rape and murder people like all the time. Like they were not
like
great.
Vikings.
Yeah, like they were not great dudes.
It was feudal. Like it was basically like like knights. Like knights that were like loyal to kings because they paid them or gave them land. Yeah. It was the same thing with samurai and shoguns.
Yeah.
That's where jiu-jitsu came from.
Yeah.
I'm a Brazilian jiu-jitsu coach. So like samurai they're basically mercenaries essentially, you know, up armored mercenary badasses working for shoguns. So like there was kind of this degree of professionalism amongst them because it's like, you know, I'm not fighting you because I'm defending my home. I'm not fighting you because I'm defending, you know, like my whatever. I'm fighting you because my fucking boss and your boss are having an issue and we're going to have battle. And every day they'd have war during the day. And at the end of the night, they would leave their weapons behind and they wouldn't leave them behind, but they would come down dressed in just the robes. And they'd have their swords with them because they always carry their swords. But they would come meet in the middle of the battleground and have dinner every night. And if you drew your sword at dinner at the end of the night, like, everybody's killing you. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not allowed, yeah, period. So what happened was, if you had a disagreement where you're having dinner at the end of the day with somebody, you would wrestle to figure out who was right. Well, then it turned into, well, I'm going to fucking wrestle this dude, but if I can fucking break his arm tonight, which is allowed, tomorrow I'm going to find him on the battlefield with a broken arm and he's not going to be able to defend himself, and then I'm going to cut his fucking head off. So that's where, like, arm bars and knee bars and submission holds came from, is samurais the night before battle at dinner trying to fuck each other up, yeah, so they can murder each other the next day.
But then what does Brazil have to do with this?
So jiu-jitsu,
this was going on in Japan.
Yeah, no. So it's like a running joke in the jiu-jitsu community that the Gracie family, like, just stole jiu-jitsu and ran away with it. Yeah. But so jiu-jitsu was all from Japan, and it came over through, I'm drinking, I don't remember the exact name. It came over, Helio Gracie's older brother, Carlos Gracie, learned jiu-jitsu, traditional Japanese jiu-jitsu, because you can learn Japanese jiu-jitsu, you can learn Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and then now there's a new guy trying to come up with American jiu-jitsu, Kenan Cornelius. Anyways, long story.
Why do we need American jiu-jitsu? Another jiu-jitsu?
Yes.
You think we do?
Absolutely. American jiu-jitsu is going to be awesome.
Amerijew?
Yeah. American who hit you?
No. Yeah. No?
We can't call it that.
Are you sure?
No, yeah, we can't. Dave, cut that. Cut that.
So yeah, but Helio Gracie learned traditional Japanese jiu-jitsu, but he was a really small guy. So he ended up, like, adapting it to make it so he could win being a smaller dude, and basically made it better, I guess. It made it more efficient so that a smaller person could take out a bigger person regardless of strength, and that's where Brazilian jiu-jitsu came from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Stuff. And how long has it been around? So it's fairly new.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu is like new, yeah. So, I mean, Helio's only... He passed away not that long ago. This is like a couple generations of people.
Yeah.
Like less than 100 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Gracie's is why MMA exists.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that. But yeah. I mean, their whole family had their martial art came up to America. They're like, welcome to the fucking Thunderdome. Us versus karate versus whatever the fuck else you got.
Your karate is lame.
So,
yeah. Has anybody ever won in karate?
Karate?
Yeah.
Like MMA?
Yeah.
Lyoto Machida.
He's a karate guy?
Yeah, he was. Well, he's like a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt too, but he was not like...
Whoa.
No, but like...
Just throw in the black belt with Brazilian
jiu-jitsu. It was not his primary weapon. Like, that dude was knocking people the fuck out with like OG karate moves. Roundhouse
kicks?
Yeah. Not like front snap kicks. Like shit that people have never seen in MMA. And he was going in there and doing these kick, like crescent kicks and front snap kicks that people thought... weren't real and weren't going to be effective, and he was fucking starching people. he's the closest dude. He's probably the closest dude, like the first go around with John Jones. He did the best, and then he got caught in a guillotine, but like he was doing the best against John Jones.
Cheetah.
Yeah, Lyoto Machida's.
So he's like
gangster.
A real world ninja.
Oh, dude, like, remember the old, like the UFC countdown videos? His countdown video back in the day when he was doing shit, he's like in Brazil, like meditating under waterfalls with waterfalls hitting his back. And he's like in a canoe and he's like canoeing through this river in Brazil. And he like reaches the oar out and a fucking monkey jumps on it and gets in the canoe with them. And I was like, oh fuck, this guy's winning. This is a main character of the story.
Monkey whisperer. This dude knows how to fight.
That's that dude was crazy.
Street fighter backstory.
Yeah.
Guy.
Legit.
That's cool.
This is interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know this much.
What other questions?
Who do you think is the closest to the most real life ninja?
What's ninjutsu? Real life. Ninjutsu is real.
And it's ninja. It's ninjin, right?
Huh?
Ninjin?
No, it's called ninjutsu.
Yeah, but that's what like a ninja is, right?
No, they're Japanese.
What?
Mm-hmm. What are you saying over there?
Ninjin? Ninjutsu
like an
is
Indian
like the style of a ninja.
Okay.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
correct. That's their fighting style.
Yes.
So they do like front flips and shit.
So like this is going to be bad. I don't know if I want to put this on. My interpretation of history, which is this is nowhere near my area of expertise, but my understanding of ninjas is that because samurai were like the wealthy shogun knight warrior people, ninjas were like the lower economic people, and they were basically adapted their fighting style to take out samurais.
Yeah, to be sneaky.
Yeah, like they were designed to kill samurai. So like they had like eggs that they would fucking poke a hole in and strain the egg out, and they'd fill it full of ground up glass and sand and shit.
Yeah.
And they'd fucking and throw fucking pocket sand into the samurai's eyes.
Oh, they were fighting dirty.
Yeah, yeah. They were basically like assassins trying to take out the samurai, but the samurai had this big advantage with the armor and the better equipment and everything.
Was it Shredder?
I believe so. Yeah.
So it was Dr.
Shredder. Exactly. Yeah.
It was Dave Shredder, 1975.
100%. Yeah. And there was Ninja Turtles. It was a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, if you're scared of the thermobaric bomb, do you know what the CBU 97 is?
CBU 97. No, tell me more.
The SFW, the sensor fused weapon.
Tell me.
So the CBU 97 is a cluster bomb, and it breaks open.
Yeah,
and it has sub munitions come out that have parachutes on them.
Okay. Yep.
You don't believe me.
No, I know. I believe you. Trust me.
And you look up into the sky and you see hundreds of these parachuting cylinders that are, you know, probably about this big. And as they get to about 100 feet off the ground, they open up and these heat-seeking discs fire into heat sources all at once.
America. Yeah. I'm going to be honest,
it's called the Weapon of Seven Miracles.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest, I'm still more scared of thermal barracks.
Yeah.
What a terrifying.
That's in space right now. Is it called like the Hand of God or?
Oh, Rods from God?
Yeah.
That's technically a myth. We don't know that for sure.
Still really
tungsten,
cool.
Though. Tungsten steel rods.
Tungsten 30 foot long telephone poles.
Power poles made of tungsten. How did we launch tungsten poles into space though?
Well, that's why people think it's not real. Is because it's not cost effective.
Yeah. No, I don't think
that. I don't think it's real either personally. But it's a good concept.
Like Demo Matt has like a cube of tungsten that is maybe a little bit smaller than this shell, and it is difficult to pick up.
Yeah,
yeah.
So maybe how are you doing?
Maybe
a
they
telephone?
Found that in space. Maybe they harnessed it in space.
Well, I mean, hear me out. The entire concept behind it is kind of silly because
but it's
like
cool.
The whole concept is like this could be equivalent to a nuclear explosion. And guess what? It's not a war crime yet because nobody's ever done it because it's never a war crime the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
So therefore, we've done it. It's like
apparently
I mean,
the first two nukes weren't
war
crimes either.
Yeah, I know. That's never a war crime the first time.
Oh,
didn't know that was an option yet.
Oh, we didn't know.
We didn't know how bad it was going to be.
We didn't know it'd be that crazy.
I mean, they kind of know, but whatever.
It's kind of funny how well of a relationship we have with the Japanese.
Yeah.
Oh, bro, like, it's wild. No,
it's like they're not mad at us.
All right.
Well. I mean, to be fair, we have the same thing with the Germans now. Yeah. You know what I mean? We have just as good of a relationship. Like,
okay.
Yeah, but
look, I'm just this. Like,
I mean, we nuked Japan
twice.
I have multiple friends that like grew up in Japan. They're from Japan. I always make a point of asking. They're like, I don't know, in our you know, their education system, they're like, we're kind of taught that, you know, you told us like 30 fucking times you were going to do it, and then you did it, and
well, we started it.
They kind of blamed the emperor and their government at the time for that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Like, our government sucked. And
well, I mean, that is true.
Yeah. Well.
But cool. Also, like, I recently watched Weimheimer. Is that movie? Windowmeter.
Oppenheimer.
Weimheimer.
Yeah.
Weinheimer.
What?
So my friend's got a Weimariner.
A Wappenheimer.
Windowmeter.
Daddy got that Wappenheimer.
That's weeping woomer.
Okay.
I watched that movie. Did you watch that movie?
No.
You have it?
I can't do it.
Why?
I fucking hate history movies. They piss me off.
Yeah, but this one I think was good.
God, I don't know. I thought I had high hopes for Napoleon. Worst movie I've seen in my life.
Oh, come on. I haven't seen it yet. Me and Caleb, we're going to do a beanbag day.
It's like, it's like every fucking director's like, I'm more concerned about my artistic expression.
Yeah, the story. Just tell the fucking story, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, I read the Wikipedia page and this is my artistic expression of it. Like, no, fucking read more than that and then just tell what happened. Midway was fantastic. It is one of my favorite movies ever.
Other people be like, Midway sucked. I'm like, how did that suck?
No, Midway was fucking fantastic.
I gained respect for a Jonas brother.
Yeah. Bro, even if you knew, like, if you knew about history with, like, they did it so well. Like, the crazy dude that does all the cryptography walking around his office in a robe. Like, that's well documented. Yeah. Homeboy is like an E7 walking around his office with the naval fucking band because he figured out that because people that are musicians recognize, like, symphonies and pick up shit from understanding how music works,
yeah,
that they'd be good at decrypting shit. And he started using the naval band to figure out how to crack the code to decrypt Japan's naval messages.
What was that code called? The Omega code?
The Enigma, but that was Enigma. German. I don't remember what the Japanese was called.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know what?
It was the Weimannheimer code?
Yeah.
The ninja code?
You know what America did instead of an Enigma code?
What?
So the Enigma code was like this mechanical device that you'd like enter the data in.
You had to have
it would like spit the out the right. Machine. Yeah, you had to have the Enigma machine. You want to know what America did? We're like, fuck it. We're going to get Native Americans to do it for us.
Wind talkers.
Wind talkers, specifically Navajo code talkers. Yeah,
if you're in Germany, how the fuck are you going to find a Navajo Indian that speaks Navajo?
Well, the other thing is... The Navajo in particular is very hard. It's completely separate than any other language ever. Yeah. And it's not written. It's only spoken. So there's not even an opportunity or a possibility that you could have, like, had somebody write it down and you can teach it to yourself via a book. It's not possible because it's not a written
language.
Nicolas
Cage was involved in that program.
Yeah, the Wind. what's that movie called?
Wind Talkers.
Yeah, we watched that in school. Yeah.
It's super good.
Yeah, it was.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
And they were like, they had different, like, so the there's the Navajo language and then the Navajo code talkers had their own code on top of it for, because there's no word in Navajo for a fucking tank, right? Like, that's not a thing. So they were calling tanks like Iron Turtles and shit. Iron Turtles and different shit like that is really cool.
Well, like here's a funny thing, like, that we did that cost, you know, Russia a lot of money. You know, they knew that we were leading on developing laser-guided munitions and ground-based laser systems. And that's how we were going to use precision bombs. You know, the age of using snake eyes, high drag, low drag, Mark 82s, 83s, 84s, you know, these bombs that just dive in and hope you hit it. It's kind of accurate. It flies a little straight. Now we've got a guidance kit on it using laser energy. So when Russia developed their new tank, the tank had a receiver in it that if it felt itself getting lased, the turret auto spins and fires around at the source of the laser. You know?
Yeah. Makes sense.
That's crazy technology. Yeah. It sounds dangerous, right? Yeah. Sounds. How are we going to combat this? You know, how are we going to camouflage our laser when we're lasing the tank to put a... we just created what's called a shift call. So we lays on the ground next to the tank until the pilot knows where the bomb is in flight and he says, okay, shift, and you put it onto the tank the last like 5 seconds.
Yeah. There's nothing funnier than $1 billion fucking technology getting duped by dumb shit.
Yeah.
Just fucking suck. Oh yeah? Watch this. I got an idea. Hold my beer.
Yeah.
That's why the Russians are like, fuck the Americans, man. They don't even know what they're doing.
America fucking with Russia is an epic saga. It's my favorite thing in American history. Like, Russia put up a new spy satellite. What's America going to do about it?
Put up 50.
America America like fucking strapped an anti-satellite missile to an F-15 and yeeted it into the fucking outer space and blew up one of our own satellites just to let them know, by the way, the only reason you have a spy satellite is because we let you. Uh-huh. Fuck off. Like 100%. It's fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Bro, my new video, it's not out yet. It comes out Sunday. The Berlin airlift in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, it's the funniest shit on the planet. Do you guys know much about like after Germany after World War II? Basically, it was split up into all the Allied forces. Each got a chunk of it. So like America, Britain, France all got a chunk, and the USSR got a chunk.
We were
going
to turn it into a state similar to Louisiana, and then they said no.
100%. We called it the West Germany Purchase. Yeah, no. So no, they split it in half, and like all the Western people, like our strategy was like, oh, we're going to boost their economy up and give them aid and then, you know, let them get on their feet and then we're going to fuck off and you guys can do your own shit, whatever. And the USSR was like, nah, we're communist. You need to rely on us. So they took a bunch of East Germany shit and like reappropriated
it. Berlin Wall.
So that comes like 40 years later. But Berlin was 100 miles into Soviet territory, but Berlin was also cut into quadrants like that.
Yeah.
So like you had this little speck of capitalism in the Eastern Bloc and capitalism was outperforming, obviously, because communism sucks ass.
Yeah.
So they were like, we're going to blockade off West Berlin. We're going to cut off all the roads, all the rivers, all the train tracks, everything. We're not going to let any food or supplies into West Berlin. And eventually we're going to starve them out until they agree to join communism. And then it's all just going to be USSR. And the only way that the Western powers, they went into Truman's office, the same dude that dropped nuclear bombs, yeah, just so we're on the same page. And they're like, here's the options. We can roll in tanks, kick off World War III right now. We can let West Berlin starve. We can try to fly food in, but we have no idea what that's going to take. We think it's impossible. And like most gangster presidential quote ever, he's like, quote, we stay in Berlin, period. So they're like, okay, well, we're going to try to fly in supplies. And it was... They go to Britain, who'd just been rationing for 10 years, and it was going to be like 4,500 tons of food and fuel every day. It's millions of pounds every day. And it was like 1,300 C-74s, because they could only carry 3 tons at a time.
Yeah.
It'd be 1,300 planes in every day. There's only 1,440 minutes in a day.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
They fucking figure it out, and fucking they end up flying in... Over the course of 15 months, it's called the Berlin Airlift. They flew in like 4.6 billion pounds of food and fuel and hit like literally outlasted the USSR because we put an embargo on them that was financially punishing them. Flew in 4.6 billion pounds. They were flying in 1,300 planes a day. Every 3 minutes, they were flying them in from 3 locations all day, every day for 15 fucking months just to shit on communism. Wow. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Man, that's a flex.
Yeah.
That's a big shit.
Yeah.
There's so much.
Yeah.
So much shit.
The East Germans could unload 3 tons off a plane in 7 minutes and turn it around and send it back. they were launching planes from 2 locations in West Germany. Every 3 minutes, another plane took off and they had them flying at 5 different altitudes. So they were just staggered. Going there all day, every fucking day. And the communists were sending up fighters and they were like buzzing the planes, trying to get them to fuck up, cause a wreck, anything they could do, but they wouldn't touch them because America was the only one with nukes at the time. So it was the biggest game of fuck around and find out ever. So like,
That would have been a quick sequel to World War II though. If you think about it, it's like, oh, you were in production while II just came out.
Yeah.
And then we would be working on 4 now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It's okay. We got time. There'll be more world wars. We'll see what happens. It'll be a good time.
Yeah, I want to look into this. You know, I want to look into this missile that went after a satellite. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's cool.
F-15. Yeah, F-15's got 104 real world air to air kills. It's undefeated.
Yeah.
What else? It's done. Shot down a satellite. It's the only plane to completely lose an entire fucking wing and fly back to base and land.
Cut clean off.
Israelis, yeah, sheared it all the way. And everybody's like, "Oh, the A-10 can no." The A-10 has a designated breakaway point where like a third of the wing is left, and it can limp home. The F-15 pilot got the entire wing sheared right off the fuselage.
Throttle, baby.
Didn't even know it and flew back. And it's because the F-15 has so much fucking thrust that it could theoretically fly without wings.
Yeah.
Because like it's
fucking rocket.
It's a rocket. It's literally, it could fly like a rocket once it gets off the ground.
Yeah.
You could set an F-15 vertical and it could just go straight up.
Oh, no. That's why we should put 2 of those motors in like a Honda Civic.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
100%.
At least an Accord, something a little more.
No, that happened. Like this, you might know about this.
I do know about
years
this.
Years ago.
Yes.
The guy put, so they have these booster motors for C-130s and C-17s to take off on short landings that are just rocket motors. And one of the crew chiefs, like back in the 90s, welded one of these to his truck and went out into the Nevada desert, fired it off, and like drove himself into a mountain, like deep.
And died.
Oh, God.
100%.
Disappeared. Like, you're talking like atoms.
Why did he do this?
Well, if he was successful, imagine how cool he would be right now.
Right.
Yeah, he put a rocket on his truck.
About how fast was he going?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Do you know about this? Do you know the details?
I don't know the details. I've heard this story. I've never looked into it very deep, though.
I mean, easily 300 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking in seconds. Like, yeah. he probably
passed out.
Probably 600.
He probably accelerated so fast that he either passed out or died from the acceleration before he hit the mountain.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Guy sat in Cody's Tesla Plaid, and that was alarming. Uh-huh. I've never been accelerated that fast in my life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I went on that jet ride, that was a few times that I about went to sleep. Yeah. That was.
Did they try to put you to sleep? No, they tried. He did put you to sleep. Okay, good. He put you in G-lock.
He said we hit 6.5 on one. He's like, hey, man. He's like, that's good. He's like, most people would have fell out. And I literally was so sweaty. I was like, oh. And for the rest of the ride home, I was just like in a daze because he did like 2 loops.
Yeah.
And I was about out after that second one. If we would have done one more, I would have went out.
I put myself out twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. While you were in charge of the aircraft.
Well, yeah. Yeah. While I was flying, I was just trying to have fun.
Where were you flying?
The same jet he was in.
Yeah.
You can't.
What was the jet?
Start that story and then just not talk.
L-39 Albatross.
Oh, you have an Albatross?
Yeah. I did.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah. I used to.
Damn.
You know.
Yeah. It was nuts. I barely fit in the seat, but it was pretty wild.
Shit.
And it was a nice breeze in there too, but I had sandals on because I was at the gym and he just goes, hey, he's like, you want to go up in a jet? And I was like,
I don't know.
I was like, yeah. And he's like, all right, come on over. So I went there and I'm just in gym clothes, sandals, no socks or anything. And I get in the jet, helmet and the Pit Viper. And I had the headset on and Pit Vipers, dude, because my adrenaline got so high up after doing the spins. I was sweating so much that my sandals were just soaked. It was pouring. My feet were wet.
When I
went to get out of the jet and it was all awkward. My feet were sliding everywhere. I was like, holy shit, dude.
I think that was the last thing I posted on Instagram is I just grabbed all my GoPro footage of like 6 months in that thing and edited this reel to cool music.
Sorry, when did you learn how to fly fucking fighter jets?
What do you know?
I don't know. You're a very interesting human. You've got a lot of talents.
I can start and fly just about any helicopter out there safely.
Yeah.
And jets.
What's your favorite helicopter to fly?
Oh, hands down, the Little Bird, the MD-500.
Yeah.
I don't. Things with automatic gyros and stuff like that, it's just boring. It's too, and you can't feel it like you can. You can feel everything in the Little Bird. And I racked up about 12 hours in the H-64 sim. So flying the actual Apache in the sim. And even that was too easy. Turn all the auto stuff off. Dude, flying a Blackhawk, there's just so much computer involved.
Work doing it for you.
Yeah. Whereas your MD-500s, your Little Birds, it's push-pull tubes. It's raw. Nothing is helping you.
Dude, the rental car I got's an electric Chrysler Pacifica. I hate it for the same reason. There's no feedback. It's just quiet. There's no noise. You push the gas pedal more. There's no engine rev. Yeah. There's nothing. It's just... I'm like that. I hate this. Yeah. I don't feel like I'm going 75 in a 40 because there's no noise. There's no, it's awful.
See, I feel reason. The Trans Am, I should put a manual transmission in and a handbrake and, that should be a drift.
Yeah.
It should be a drift Trans Am.
Yeah, that'd be...
What? You have enough drift cars. You leave that Trans Am alone.
Whoa. Come on.
Put a manual in it and just make it a fucking mullet burnout mobile.
Well, also have a handbrake, so we can
tub it.
Put some meaty meats in there.
Take the back seats out, get some 4 feet wide tires. Tub it.
Oh, no. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Because the back seats are in now. You can ride in the back.
No. I want you to breathe on the gas pedal and see nothing but the sky.
That'd be cool too, yeah.
A drift Trans Am though.
No. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
No, trust me.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
No.
It's so powerful. As you can see, my driveway. That was the Trans Am. The nice 2 tracks everywhere. Because I can't go anywhere without it just, roasting the tires off.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen the Air Force's new advertisement for drifting the F-22?
I bet it's...
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's the best fucking military ad I've seen since I was in like middle school when they were like, they were showing like Swick and they're like, somewhere some guy's driving a minivan. Yeah. They're like, no, it's that level of fucking awesome.
Okay.
The new F-22 one, it's like got this like dung and this like slow buildup music and it's just the F-22 like getting ready to take off and doing a bunch of, it's doing like the fucking dead leaf maneuver from Maverick and shit. Oh, and it's like the earth is 70% water and 30% land and just fuck, they're shooting missiles and all this shit going off. And
what
it goes, the sky is 100% ours. Yeah. And then it just cuts and that's the end of the fucking ad. Join the United States Air Force. I was like, that was awesome. Okay. All right. They're finally doing good ads again.
Yeah.
So we're going to war. But anyways.
They're finally advertising to people to actually join.
Ah, shit.
There's a war being scheduled, boys.
Yeah.
Get ready.
I'm not saying put money in Raytheon and Lockheed Martin and L3Harris, but...
What if in a couple of years they just kick off World War III and they just mail you what your new job is going to be? Like, what if you get submarines?
Oh God.
And like, he's like, can we trade with other people in the house? They're like, no, sorry, no trading.
No trades.
Would I even be allowed to be in a submarine?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You could ask the Navy. We should ask the Navy.
They would be like, you have to lose 150 pounds.
I don't know, like, we need you to lose 9 inches of width.
What?
Like, what?
I don't know if I can do that.
How do you lose width?
We gotta get rid of those.
We
bones.
Have a surgery for your bones.
Yeah, we gotta cut some from the bones. What? Can I get just a different job where I stay this width?
No. Can't have
Caleb
it.
Caleb looks all like just crushed together. Yeah, like, can you move okay? He's like,
it hurts. Here's the real question. If you could pick any MOS for Caleb to be in, that would be the funniest, or he would be the best at. What do you think it is?
The submarine.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm telling you right now, Caleb would be the best fucking supply NCO on the planet. No, he would be the funniest. No, guy, 100%.
No.
I don't know.
I want you to picture him the cook on a submarine.
Yeah, back just like a down periscope.
That would actually
he's
be pretty good.
He's smoking a cigar. He's got the Cracker Jack hat. He's like, oh, today is special. Yeah. We got freaking Salisbury steak and Salisbury's extra Salisbury. Like,
that'd be pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, sure. Everybody would look forward to the meals.
Yeah,
you know, Caleb's
smoke
cooking.
A cigar and cook?
Yeah.
All right, that's
you're
fine.
Just making beans?
Yeah.
Every meal has beans and
what's for breakfast? Eggs and fucking cigar ashes.
A little bit of cigar in there.
That would be
good at it.
I've always wanted to do a submarine movie with us.
God.
Because it's a way for us to include everybody in the film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, because it's a crew. Like the whole thing's about a crew.
Yeah.
So it's like a submarine movie would be fucking hilarious.
It's gotta be like World War II era.
Yes.
And we're in a diesel powered sub.
Exactly.
Where it's just
and we're going after the Japanese.
The
Japanese have we have stolen one of their intel officers and he's locked in a crate and we call it the Japanabox and we find out that they have a biological weapon that's the Kraken and we're going after it.
Okay,
this is the movie. We're going after their squid that they've trained or they made in a lab.
Oh, bro, this already happened. But it was the Germans in World War II. We did that
with squids?
Huh? No,
I know we did literally with dolphins.
We
right?
kidnapped a Jap in the box?
No, we kidnapped the Germans, though.
Yeah.
We straight up pulled up and stole their sub and took it and drove it and then put it in fucking Chicago.
Okay.
German U-boat 505, there's only one left on Earth. It's in fucking Chicago because America rolled up and stole it.
That's gangster.
They fucking they hit it.
I wish the military was still that cool. Where officers were like, yeah, that is a good idea.
This guy ran up, hit it with depth charges so bad that it had to surface and all the Germans evacuated and it was like going down. They put scuttling charges to blow it up and made sure it sinks, right? And then they had like 7 dudes. It was like electricians and mechanics that ran in there, shut the gate while the sub was sinking, right? All the Germans are in fucking life rafts. These guys run in while the thing's sinking. It was mechanics, electricians, and a fucking camera guy. Just... because Pixar didn't happen, right? Yeah. He's sitting there taking pictures. They fucking end up fixing the sub and towing it all the way back to Bermuda. They save it from sinking. And then they towed it around to New York, Philadelphia, and used it to sell war bonds. Like, you could tour a German fucking U-boat.
Wow.
And then after World War II, they stuck it in
Chicago.
That's what
we need. We have to bring back war bonds, and then you could talk politicians into letting you do cool things for the military.
I just,
like, imagine if we sent like 15 Delta Force guys to fighter pilot school, and then we parachuted them into an airbase to just steal
shit and run. Oh my god, it'd be fucking hilarious.
Why is this not a job?
Because the military's like, not cool. That's why
they're not. They're like, imagine if this was like a thing in the Marines, or like, you know, special reconnaissance is really, you're trained to go steal their shit, whether it's a submarine or amazing. A battleship or
this
whatever.
This just gets on. That's like just James Bond levels. Like, at that point, like, when you're that...
No, real life is way dumber than that. Yeah, it's exactly what he said. But could literally drop those motherfuckers off 5 miles outside of the base, and they just steal it and run.
Job, like, if we're, like, really doing that, like, we're training, like, a platoon of people to operate a fucking warship, like a battleship, and they also can parachute, and they're sneaky and everything, and it's like, okay, tonight's the night. You guys are parachuting into the Olink Sea, into this harbor, and you're taking this battleship. Like...
Be hilarious.
It'd be so cool. Damn. And then all the countries, imagine the press releases when they're like, hey, America, stop. Like, stop. You got these guys that are real good at stealing our shit. Like, China wakes up and they're missing an aircraft carrier. Like, wait, how did you get this sitting in San Diego?
That's like Mount Hope 3 when we stole the Hind. You remember that?
No.
America fucking, you know, the Hind, the Russian attack helicopter. Everybody's like, everything fucking Russia does, everybody talks up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were talking to this helicopter, like, it's the best fucking attack helicopter ever, blah, 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 blah. And America fucking found one that they had like sold to like Jordan or Libya or some shit. And there was a civil war and they were fighting. And America sent out the 160th Night Stalkers. They had two C-5s, C-5 Galaxies. They took Chinooks and stuck them in the C-5s, flew them from America to the neighboring country, pulled out the Chinooks, assembled them, got them spooled up. Those guys flew into the next country over, had the mechanics take the rotors and everything off the Hind, strapped it to it, and sling-loaded it out of the fucking country, flying with the helicopter beneath it, took it all the way over into the neighboring country, disassembled it, took the Chinooks apart, stuck all of it back in C-5s, took off, and it was in America in like 2 days.
See?
It was incredible.
This needs to be an entire branch.
Yeah.
The thieving branch.
Yeah.
Steal. Because it's not the Navy.
Strategically transfer equipment to an alternate location.
Yeah.
They can have my patch.
I want to enlist in steel.
That sounds pretty
good. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, obviously I'm old and washed up now, so I just want to be a planner. I just be a strategic planner and steel.
You walking and doing the briefings would be hilarious.
Yeah. All right. What are we going to do? We're going to get that Chinese aircraft carrier. The president's like, what? Like, we got a good plan.
Put down a Corpus Christi.
Listen here. Think volcanoes.
I think the next step is like, if you steal something, you have to like display it in a place that's not accessible by water.
Oh no. We put the Hind. It's in a fucking aircraft museum in Alabama. Yeah, it's just sitting there. We stole the Hind and we're like, oh, this thing actually kind of sucks. Donate it to a museum. It's on, you could go see it today. We didn't do shit with it. It's hilarious.
Okay.
Wow.
Just stealing shit and put it in museums. Great Britain would be proud.
Well, you gotta get down here and get on here with us every time you're in town, because
whatever you need.
This is interesting.
I'm happy to be every time. Yeah.
And we just invented a new service branch.
That'd be awesome, by the way.
Which is way cooler than Space Force.
It'd be great.
Especially because we could steal other people's space equipment and we can make Space Force way cooler.
It's true.
I saw a Space Force guy yesterday in HEB. I still don't know what they do.
HEB.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, satellites and Pokadoos and stars and Picados and, you know, Windenheimer works over there now or something like that.
What happened?
Wim Womer using his karate and ninja skills and, right?
I think they just want to put the nerdy nerds in a different building.
Yeah, they were roasting them too much.
So yeah.
You guys go look at
space. Guys, we need the computers. Like, whatever nerd, they're like, we need them guys. Whatever nerd, all right, we're going to give them their own building.
All right. Well,
good.
This was great.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're
it's
not
always
just
fun.
That.
Yeah. No.
You're not just saying that, are you?
Learning a lot. I like that.
Sorry.
I enjoy.
I try.
The knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah, every time.
He's our teacher.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Pretty much.
It's terrifying.
Teacher of the gods.
Oh, no.
Sweet. Thank you.